Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
Good morning. The room filled up a little bit more as we sang. I love it. These early birds. Well, for those of you that don't know me, I'm Angela Cole. I'm typically at the Harrisonburg campus, and I'm typically dealing with things like HR and policies and all of that fun stuff, right? Thank you, Jared. I'm glad to hear you feel that way. No. But today is one of my favorite things to do, and I'm humbled and grateful to be at East Rock with you and getting to bring God's word. I'm humbled by that. I'm thankful for God's opportunity, and it's only Christ in me that allows that to happen. I will confess to you this morning that if some of you have listened to the sermons from Harrisonburg in the last couple weeks, you may have already heard this sermon. Pastor Jared asked me to speak a while ago, and then Pastor Kevin said, hey, I want you to speak in this series. And then when they realized that I was speaking in the same series, they were gracious to me and said, you just do the family one. So I was grateful for that. Definitely grateful. If you were here last week, you know that Pastor Jared talked about marriage and God's design for marriage, and that design is a covenant. It's a covenant. And what I'll remind you this morning, if you've given that any thought this week, that you've known we need God's help with that, right? We have to have God's help for a covenant relationship. And this morning, we're going to dive even deeper into family. And everyone in this room has one, right? Good, bad, or ugly, we have one. And so we know that as we dive into family goals this morning, we also need God's help. The mere mention of family for some of us can create angst, joy, heartache, thankfulness. We all have a story of family. It may bring tears of joy or tears of regret, but what I want you to hear this morning as we enter into this message is that I know it's tender. Regardless of where you are or where you've been in family, it's tender. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you. I thank you that I get to stand here and proclaim your goodness. And Lord, I know that, again, the mere mention of family can create and rise up in us all kinds of emotions. And Lord, even in the hardest times, Lord, help us to know this morning that you are for us, that you are a good, good Father. Help us to believe that this morning and be reminded of it. And Lord, I thank you that that has been true in my life. And I pray today that each heart in this room would draw near to you, that whatever's heavy in this area of their life or any area, that, Lord, they would bring it to you. Lord, that we would run to you. And I give you praise this morning for what only you can do. Amen. All right. So I have a disclaimer. Pastor Jared did not ask me to bring this message because I have it all together when it comes to family. I don't have it all figured out as a mom, as a sister, as a wife, as a daughter, or even as a friend, right? I don't. The only reason I can bring this message is because I know that I desperately need him in all of those relationships. I'm pretty sure the reason that I was invited to give this message this morning is because my husband and I, who is actually home taking care of a sick little one this morning, are in the throes of a very unique parenting, right? If you know our story, you know, there's going to be a picture of our family right here. You know that we are experiencing a lot of life all at once with all the ages, right? All the ages. So here's my husband, my college sweetheart, and married 27 years. This is my daughter here in the white dress. She is a freshman at Liberty. My son there in the middle, he is a sophomore here at East Rock. And then in the middle there is Ivy. She is 4 and in preschool. Right. You can laugh. It's real. It's real. Now here, the next slide is just one of my favorite pictures of them as Gwenna graduated here locally at East Rock. Our challenges vary day to day, right? You know, I'm still learning to let Gwenna go. I'm still learning how often I should check Life 360 and even how much advice I should give when she calls, right? A lot of times I'm learning she just wants me to listen. I call it trauma dumping. She just wants to call at 10:30 at night, tell me what she wants to tell me, and I'm not supposed to say anything. So I'm trusting the Lord with that, right? I'm trusting the Lord with a 16-year-old boy who I'm just trying to figure out what he's even thinking. And all he wants to do is fish and hunt. And, you know, we do have to get through school, right? And then a 4-year-old who, you know, started throwing up at 9 last night. And we're working through that. And but on a day-to-day basis, just getting her to eat protein, right? I mean, anybody in the room? We cannot live on pouches, if you know what I mean. So it's all this gamut. And I'll tell you what, it reminds me every day that I need Jesus, right? So now, I also don't want you to get distracted this morning and miss the message. So if you're wondering, I was 44 when she was born. 44, yes. And if you like statistics, it's statistically only 2 to 3%. It's only a 2 to 3% chance that 2 43-year-old folks can conceive naturally, and even less if it's being prevented. So I will let you know that this is an only God story, right? This is one of our only God stories. And though we never imagined that we would have this blessing in our life, we have seen his goodness. She was certainly a surprise, but let me tell you, it's reminded me that God is at work in my life and in yours. And I pray this morning that you know that same power is at work in your life. Now, not to bring all of you babies in your old age, but I'm not praying that for you this morning. Don't leave the room. But to let you know that he meets needs in our lives that we don't even know we have, right? We would not have known we needed Ivy Jean in our life, but boy, has she brought joy, right? So what is family? By definition, Oxford says family is a group of people who are related to each other, including parents, children, and close relatives. Another source says a family is a group of persons united by the ties of marriage, blood, or adoption, constituting a single household and interacting with each other in their respective social positions, usually those of spouses, parents, children, and siblings. But as we hear that word adoption, we're reminded this morning that we are adopted into the family of God. So this also means our family of God, right? Marriage and family are God's institutions. Pastor Jared shared in his sermon last week that God created family, and when he made the first man and first woman, he tells them to go forward, be fruitful, and multiply in Genesis 1:28. He wastes no time. God wastes no time in developing marriage and family. Marriage is a foundational unit of our society. Shortly after, though, this union was created, we see sin enter the scene. Very shortly after. Self-sufficiency enters, and so does family dysfunction. The effects of sin destroy families and society, wreaking havoc, creating unimaginable suffering, and leading many to Christless lives and societies. In Genesis 4, we meet Cain and Abel, Adam and Eve's first and second born sons. In Genesis 4, 3 and 5, God favors Abel's offering over Cain's. In Genesis 4, 6, and 7, we see, "Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you so angry? Why is your face so downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it.'" God was bringing Cain a warning, but Cain chose his own way. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out into the field." While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. We quickly see the entering of sin. Then Cain ran away to avoid punishment, yet creating more challenges and hurt. We see that in our families often, those type of cycles begin. One choice is made, and then another, and then another, and that hurt continues. And this is not to discourage us this morning, but to remind us that sin entered the world, and so did battle against family and within family. So today's challenges may look a little different than God favoring an offering of one brother over another. Jealousy is the root of that. Jealousy is one hurt that still reigns as destructive, and the family is in battle. So Life, Hope, and Truth research tells us that some of the greatest or top threats that come against our families today are materialism, secularism, and negative media influence. We all know about these, right? Materialism keeping our families focused on acquiring more and convincing our children that that's where happiness lies. Secularism, 25% of Americans claim no religious affiliation, and this has been within the last 10 years, compared to 6% in 1991. To me, that's burdensome and staggering. Negative media influence, not only bringing constant, unwholesome influence into our lives and into our families, but also keeping families from interacting. But we all know the ultimate enemy is not a physical enemy, but a spiritual one. 1 Peter 5:8-9 tells us, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in your faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings." Here we see God, just like he did Cain, bringing us a warning. Will we heed it? What will we choose? Will we be of alert and of sober mind within our families? Why, though, is the enemy so against family? This quote by John Pale sums it up for me. It says, "God designed the family to fill the earth with his glory." Now, that's a big responsibility, right? But guess what? I love that. I love that reminder when it says, "God designed our families to fill the earth with his glory." Go forward, multiply, and then just let others know about me through that. So let's visit our brother Joseph. I love the story of Joseph. For me as a leader, I tell you what, there's so many cool opportunities to learn from Joseph. But we're going to focus on his family today. We want to see how all of this played out for him. Now, Joseph's story takes up 14 chapters of Genesis. So though I would love to just snuggle in here and read it all to you, I will. Pastor Jerry may not invite me back if I do that. We may run over a bit. So make sure that you guys visit Genesis 37 through 50. Let that be your Sunday afternoon reading before your nap. But I'm going to summarize it for you, okay? Joseph was the son of Jacob and his beloved wife Rachel. He was the grandson of Isaac and the great-grandson of Abraham. He came from a godly heritage. This tells us he came from a godly heritage, but his dear old dad decided to take a detour and dabble in the ways of the culture. Polygamy was popular at this time, and Jacob couldn't resist. Having three wives at the same time could create dysfunction for anyone. Would anybody in this room, hey, look, I saw a little nudge back there. Right, can you handle three wives, gentlemen? I don't think so. Now, be sweet to the one sitting beside you, but listen, three wives at the same time. So these choices had effects on Joseph's life. He was a favored son. Jacob openly favored Joseph because he was the son of Rachel, his beloved wife, right? And he was the youngest, and he created and gave him this coat of many colors, which further fueled all of his brothers' resentment. He had prophetic dreams, which he dreamed that basically his family bowed down to him. And where I cringe every time I read this is that he shared that with his brothers. He shared that. He said, "Okay, guess what I dreamed? And I'm basically going to be powerful over you. Get ready." All right, buddy. He was sold into slavery due to this jealousy and irritation of his brothers. Joseph sold to traders who took him to Egypt, where he was sold to Potiphar, an Egyptian official. He faced false accusation and imprisonment. When Joseph resisted the advances of Potiphar's wife, she falsely accused him of rape, leading to his imprisonment. So the poor guy, he's already been in a pit. He's already been sold. He's already been accused. And now he's in prison. So while in prison, Joseph gained a reputation for accurately interpreting dreams, including those of Pharaoh's cupbearer and baker. Pharaoh, troubled by a dream, summoned Joseph to interpret it. When revealing that there was coming famine, he was impressed by Joseph's wisdom, and Pharaoh appointed him as second in command. So now from prison, he used the gifts God had given him, and now he's second in command, allowing him to prepare Egypt for the famine by storing grain. During that famine, Joseph's brothers, the same ones that sold him, came to Egypt to buy food. And he revealed himself to them, ultimately forgiving them and reuniting his family. Now that, my friends, doesn't happen without God's help. But you're saying, wait a minute. Jealousy leads his brothers to sell him, covering it up, lying to his father, more jealousy, separation, and loss. And Joseph still feeds them and ultimately forgives. Yes. Honestly giving them all a chance at life. Throughout Genesis 37 through 50, Joseph's story showcases his reliance on God. Despite being sold into slavery by his brothers, falsely accused and imprisoned, he relied on God. His forgiveness of his brothers in Genesis 45 is a powerful example of how we should trust God's plan even in the face of betrayal. So, the Lord was with Joseph, says Genesis 39, 2 through 3. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. And he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. I chose this scripture to pull out of here because it reminds us that the Lord was with Joseph. In all of that, what that's telling us is Joseph invited the Lord in. Joseph yielded to the Lord in the midst of all that. And then what happened was his master saw the Lord in him and in his life and at work in his life. So he was a witness in the midst of these trials. He was a witness in the midst of this hurt and betrayal. So what do you imagine his trajectory would have been had he not chosen God for himself and for his family? So when you're asked to speak on family, it draws you into reflection of your own. Right? Whether you want to or not. And for the sake of time and honor this morning, I will give you a glimpse of my family structure growing up. Yes, that's me there with the big hair and not knowing how to manage my curls at age 14. So my parents were divorced when I was 2. When I was around 3 or 4, my stepmom entered the family. When I was 13, my life as an only child ended as my beautiful and fabulous sister entered the world. Though I can say that now, I did not often feel that way when she was 2 and I was 15. Early on, I labeled my family as happy dysfunction. If you all know me at all, you know I like things well and tied up with a pretty bow. I like that. I want that. But the truth of the matter is the division in my family and the circumstances were not always happy. My pretty bow was often removed, pushed aside, or stepped on. Here in the midst of these family circumstances is where I discovered I needed Jesus. I had a choice always, let Jesus be my help or run to something else to be my strength, my hope, and my sanity. I was desperate for him. From early on, I was desperate for his care, his comfort, his truth, his constant presence, his strength, his love, his grace, his all. I needed it. And I'm thankful for my story because it brought me to Jesus. I chose him early, my granny being the first to sprinkle those seeds of faith into my life. And he has been my peace, my grace, my guide, and my desire. And this is where all of our stories are different. Our beginnings, our journeys, and the places we find ourselves now. But this question is for all of us. Do we let the story of our families take us to Jesus? Do we let the stories of our family take us to Jesus? Whether it's the story of your youth, whether it's memories or moments you're living right now, if you are from a family of godly heritage, do you let that story lead and keep you in Jesus? If you had a story you would have preferred to be written differently, do you let your story lead you to him? Regardless of our past stories or the ones we're currently living, there is a family goal we can all choose together this morning. Family goal number one for us. Regardless of my family story and circumstances, I will let them take me to Jesus. That is a choice we can make at any moment. What does this look like, Angela? What do you want me to do? You may not, I know that this morning you may be thinking, you don't know my story. But as I sought the Lord in this, I knew that this is a goal that we can all choose together, regardless of the story. So that may be different for us, but it could mean a fresh decision today, a declaration, a turning point. It could mean forgiveness for the first time in a long time. And let me clarify right here that forgiveness does not always mean re-entry. God will guide you in the boundaries that you need. It may mean that you're letting down the past that keeps you bound, that keeps you bitter, that keeps you in a cycle. And it may mean right in the midst of your moments. What does that even mean? Some of you in this room still have toddlers, and I remember a story of when my oldest two were in those toddler years, and I had reached out to a friend. I was like, I don't know what to do with them. I don't know what to do. And if any of you, there's a few of you in this room that know, yes, I was the child care director at our church at that point. I knew what to do with everybody else's children, but I did not know what to do with my own. That is true. And sometimes there's just this ability with other people's children, but when it comes to yours, you're like, what the world? They're going to kill me. I'm pretty sure of it. But let me tell you, I asked my friend one day, I said, Carrie, I need to know, what did you do? She was several years ahead of me in parenting, and she said, I just started to pray in the midst of it. I said, what do you mean? Like right in the middle of the back talk and the sass and all the things, you just started praying? She said, absolutely, I did. So I took that seriously. And when Eli and Gwenna would start, I would just start praying Jesus. I would just say, Lord, right now I pray you enter this room, and I would just start praying. They would just shake their heads, even when they were toddlers. And one particular day, it was extra bad, so I just laid myself right down on my bedroom floor and just crying out to the Lord. Like, I mean, I was really tempted to put them on the porch, right? I just wanted to put them on the porch, but I knew as a child care director that might not be a good idea if I was caught. So I just decided I need to go to the Lord. And I just laid flat down, and I heard Eli's little feet come in, and then I hear him scream, Gwenna, she's praying again. And I thought, boy, you better be glad. You better be glad you have a praying mama, right? But those are the things, even in the midst of it today, even in the midst of those phone calls at 10:30 at night, where I say, Jesus, 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 even if she doesn't hear me, because I don't know what to do, right? It could be remembering simply to praise him. Praise him for the things that are going well. Praise him for the things he's given us. Praise him. And it could mean taking your longings to him. Whatever those are, whether that's for a family, whether that's within your family, it's taking your longings. This is your story. What do you have to take to him? He wants it all. And there's one other goal I'm going to ask that we commit to together. Regardless of where my family is now, the future will be for God's glory. Do you know that every one of us in this room can choose that today? Because of Jesus. Joseph's story tells us about our family's direction changing with Jesus when we invite him in and depend on him solely. I know that my family's tomorrow can be different because of Jesus, and it starts with me. Now, this is not about taking more control, which I can do at times. I'm thinking that's what fixes things. It's not about taking more control of my family, but surrendering it to God. It doesn't mean by choosing Jesus that everything will be easy. It doesn't mean that even all of the circumstances will change, but I promise you, your trajectory will be better because you will be different in him. Now, I do have to tell you a story of rejoicing. Mike and I were living in Tennessee. I was working in long-term care. My dad called me one day. He was 56 years old. Now, my dad had been a pastor's kid, and there was a lot of hurt there. There was a lot of hurt. And so he called me one day, and I pick up the phone and say, hey, Dad. And he said, girl, the good Lord saved my soul today. And if you know my dad, that's just exactly, I wish you could hear him say that. And I remember I was in that apartment, and I literally think I danced around the apartment because I was so thankful. And what I want to tell you all today is not even that, but within the last 2 or 3 years, my dad and stepmom have found a church. I never in my own humanness would have thought I saw that in this lifetime. And I will tell you, they've been baptized and they've chosen church. And my dad even has a cell phone. Now, my dad's 75 years old and he's never had a cell phone. But when the church asked him to be on the security team, he got a cell phone. So let me tell you, watching them, but this is what's so good when we go home. And in case you're wondering where that is and where this accent came from, when we go home to Dublin, Virginia, Southwest Virginia, we get to stand with them in church and worship. So let me tell you this morning, let me tell you, that person that you think will never come, that person that you think, I don't know, Lord, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. So your part is surrender. Your part is trust. Your part is obedience. And your part is unrelenting light, even when it's hard. So we need to hear this as well this morning. All goals require God's help, right? I need him when I'm trying to drink more water. So these kind of goals definitely require God's help. So Psalm 121 tells us, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So that same helper that came alongside me as a child and has continued to be the one who helps me as a mama as I raise these three babies, helps me as a sister and a daughter and a wife and a friend in the family of God. You guys, the Psalms are some of my favorite. I love them because they're just honestly so raw, and David is so real, and it makes me feel like I'm not alone, right? But David is called a man after God's own heart. And if you know anything about David's story, you might question that, right? He was chosen as king early. He had all these things going for him. And then he looked down over the balcony and his temptation turned to sin, right? Adultery led to murder, to all of those things. And that cycle happened as sin often does. So how is he called a man after God's own heart? He chose to return to God. He chose to return to God over and over. And God said, you are a man after God's own heart because you seek me. And I hope that that speaks to your heart this morning, because that shows us none of us are exempt from being able to return to God. Let's take a look at what the men in this video chose.
My son in the faith, I took joy in mentoring you as a young man. And today, I take joy in blessing you as a godly father. Are you ready to make this commitment before God and your family?
Yes, I am.
Then I'd like for you to repeat after me. I, Nathan Hayes, do solemnly resolve before God.
I, Nathan Hayes, do solemnly resolve before God.
To take full responsibility for myself, my wife, and my children.
That I will take full responsibility for myself, my wife, and my children.
I will love them, protect them, and serve them.
I will love them, protect them, and serve them.
And teach them the statutes of God as the spiritual leader of my home.
And teach them the statutes of God as the spiritual leader of my home.
I will be faithful to my wife, to love and honor her.
I'll be faithful to my wife, to love and honor her.
And be willing to lay down my life for her as Christ did for me.
And be willing to lay down my life for her as Christ did for me.
I will teach my son to love God with all of his heart, all of his mind, and all of his strength.
I will teach my son to love God with all of his heart, all of his mind, and all of his strength.
And I will train him to honor authority and live responsibly.
I will train him to honor authority and to live responsibly.
I will confront evil, pursue justice, and love mercy.
I will treat others with kindness, respect, and compassion.
I will work diligently, provide for the needs of my family.
I will forgive those who have wronged me and reconcile with those who I have wronged.
I will walk in integrity as a man answerable to God.
I will seek to honor God, obey his word, and do his will.
As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Now that each of you has committed to live by this resolution, I bless you in the name of the Lord. But I also have a warning for each of you. Now that you know what you are to do and have committed to do it before God and these witnesses, you are doubly accountable. Let me also assure you that you may have confidence in this resolution and your resolve now, because as you stand here, there's no challenge, no controversy, and no conflict. But I can assure you that challenges will arise, conflicts will arise, and controversy will arise. It is at that moment that in order to live out this resolution, you will need courage, courage, courage.
As these guys faced moral temptations and addictions and insecurity, we see that they made a choice for the Lord. So I invite us to commit to these goals together as a family of God, that regardless of my story and my circumstances, I will let them take me to Jesus. We don't have to stay trapped, hurt, afraid, unsure, or alone. Whatever victory or challenge we are facing, we can choose to let Jesus be our help. And the first step is surrender. And then we can choose, regardless of where my family is now, the future will be for God's glory. And now, what personal goals will you add for your family? Pastor Kevin asked me the same question as we discussed this message, and I'm going to put them up here. I won't go through all of them this morning. As you can see, the first one was to be as hip and lively when Ivy's 18 as when Gwenna is right now. So that one, honestly, does come from a place of, please, Lord, help me. But there's others here that I desire for my family to know and love Christ and for my children to want to come home. And as I looked at these, I confessed to the Lord, these are simply desires and longings of my heart. And he gently reminded me with his help as I yield and seek him in these desires and longings can be my goals. The truth is for each of us, again, regardless of where we've journeyed from and where we find ourselves now, it can be redeemed in him. So as we sing this morning, I'm going to ask you, God is our help in all of our goals. So what goals will you add this morning? What goal? It may be something as simple as like, we're going to pray. We're going to start praying. I want to simply pray for that person in my family that's hurt me. It can be anything you desire. Those longings and desires become your goals. So will you take them to him this morning? We've placed cards on the back tables and the table here at the cross. And as we sing this morning, I invite you to stand. And I invite you to remember grandmas and grandpas and moms and aunts and uncles and dads and cousins and all that you are in this room, that your goals matter and that God is your help. So as we rise, you may stand. And as we sing, I ask you and invite you to move to these tables and write down a goal and take it with you and remember that you can trust the Lord with them.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.